Okay, yesterday we started the sugya of Chereshot V'Katzan, being Kosei V'Get, HaKol Kshere V'Klub Z'Get, HaPil Chereshot V'Katzan. We said that the Gemara had one kasha. The Gemara's kasha was, how can you say Chereshot V'Katzan can write a get? After all, they're not lav b'nei deya. The Gemara had three terutz into that kasha. We had Rav Huna's teretz that was Gadol Omer Al Gabav. We had Rav Nachman's teretz that, no, the Mishnah is saying like Rav Meir, Ksiva is not important at all. Anybody can do Ksiva. So Chereshot V'Katzan or a monkey, or it doesn't make a difference. Anyone can do Ksiva. It's absolutely meaningless. The third shita is Rabbi Dor Shmuel. It says Chereshot V'Katzan can write a get, but only the unimportant parts. But the important parts, they're absolutely not allowed to write because they don't have das. So I mentioned that we should take a look at this Tosos, this long Tosos Chav Beis and Beis. Before we do that, I wanted to go through with you some of the terutzim. I mentioned the kasha yesterday that I saw discussed in the Masifta about how it is if the katan writes a get. So you mentioned the kasha yesterday, and you hold umen kona b'shvach kli, that when a person makes an improvement on an object, a worker makes an improvement on an object, it becomes his. So how can a man ever use a get that's owned, that was written by a katan, when the katan wrote the get? L'chora he's kona the get, and if he's kona the get, he has the ability to be kona the get. How can he ever give it to the man to give it to his wife? A katan does not have the ability to be makne to somebody else. Remember what we discussed when it comes to the lulav on the first day of Sukkot, that a father goes with a son or a child under the age of bar mitzvah. Father's got to take the lulav first, because once he's makne to the child does not have the ability to be makne back to the parent. So the child over here, if he's kona the get, he's never going to be able to be makne back to the father. Good. So that was the kasha. So we find, or at least I saw in the Masifta, eight different approaches to how to answer this kasha. Now, it should be noted that if you hold like the third answer in our Gemara, that husheshiyar makom haTorah, that the kata never wrote the important stuff in the get, he only wrote the unimportant stuff in the get, or you hold like the second answer of the Gemara, that the whole Mishnah is going like Reb Meir, then this is not a kasha at all, because the katan is never kona the get in the first place, meaning there's no significant shvach kli that he's doing that would make him own the get. Only if you hold like the first answer, that the katan is really making a get, he's writing something important, and the maisik siva is an important act, and there's a gadol omer al gabav, and that's why it's even lishma. Once you hold that way, then you have this kasha, right? So this kasha is only a kasha within the first day. But he quotes that we find eight different answers in the Achronim. I don't know if we'll go through all eight. We'll see. We'll see how long we'll see how interesting it gets. So answer number one, quotes Pnei Yeshua, says like this. Mistama, when the katan is writing the get, the katan has no intention of being the owner of the get. And when someone has no intention to become the owner, to be kona something, then we're not going to say that he's kona it bal korcho, that he's kona something against his will. So he doesn't need to be makne it to the baal, because he never became the owner in the first place. Now that makes the assumption, of course, that the din of uman kona b'shvach kli is only because when the uman is working on the kli, he's intending to become the owner of the kli. That's questionable. One could argue that uman kona b'shvach kli happens automatically. That if I'm improving it, so I'm making it, who else does it belong to? It's a brand, meaning the idea of uman kona b'shvach kli could be explained in two ways. One way is that since I'm making such a major contribution to this kli, I retain the right to make a kinyan on it. I have the right to be kona it. Okay, that's one way to understand it. The other way to understand uman kona b'shvach kli, it's not that I have the right to be kona it. It's that someone owns it, right? Someone's got to own it, and it's not the guy who gave it to me, because it's a different kli now. It's panim chadashos ba'olkan. I've changed it entirely. It's a brand new kli now. So who owns it? It's most likely that the Torah says the person who made it, the person who produced it, he's the owner automatically. Not because he has das to be the owner, but because he's the one that made it. And there is an owner. It's not Hefker. So no one else is allowed to come and take it. So of course he becomes the owner. It's not that he needs das to be kona it. If you say like the first way, so you can say the Pnei Yeshua's Teretz, he has the right to be kona it if he wants. Good. And if he doesn't want, then he's not kona it. But if you say like the second way, Pnei Yeshua's Teretz doesn't really work. Right? That he does... Mistama, he doesn't have das to be kona. I don't care if he doesn't have das to be kona. It's not hefker, and it's got to belong to somebody, and he's the one making it. So of course it belongs to him. It belongs to him automatically. Now, even within that second way, would you say that, let's say he's screaming the whole time, I don't want to be kona, I don't want to be kona, I'm just working on it, I'm just working, I have no intention to be kona. Would we still say, too bad, you're kona, because it's automatic. So can someone be kona something against their will? So Pashas not, right? Pashas can't be kona something against his will. The question is, would it then be hefker? Meaning, it's a brand new object. It doesn't belong to the guy who gave it. The guy gives you a roll of fabric, and you're making a suit out of it. He's made, so you made the suit. You're saying the whole time, I don't want to be kona, I don't want to be kona, I don't want to be kona. So what are the options? There are three possible owners. The guy who provided the fabric, the guy who made the suit, or nobody. If you say nobody, that means someone else can walk into the tailor, take the suit, not pay for it, and he's fine. And it's no problem. It's not stealing. Even though the tailor says, I don't want you to take it. Because he's not the owner. Who are you to tell me not to take something from Hefker? It's like something's Hefker. I'm screaming, don't take that. Doesn't matter. You can still take it. Right? So, yeah? You know, he can be kona when there's a das acheres makne. When someone else is giving something to him, he can be kona. But even forgetting that for a second, let's just take a regular uman, an adult uman, right? How does uman kona b'shvachli work? Why does the tailor who takes the fabric and makes a suit out of it, why does he become the owner of that suit? Is it because we assume that's what he wants to do? Or is it an automatic? So Bnei Yeshua seems to be assuming that it's because we assume that's what he wants to do. But anyone who doesn't want to be the owner is not the owner. So then who is the owner? So Pashtus says the guy who provided the fabric is the owner. Or it's Hefker. You have to go with one of those two options. I'm just saying it's quite a chiddush to say that way. Because it's quite a chiddush to say that the guy that provided the fabric is the owner, considering that it's a brand new clean now. He didn't have a suit. He never even saw the suit. He just had a roll of fabric. And it's an even bigger chiddush to say it's hefker, because that means anyone could just come in and take it. So most pashut explanation of uman kona b'shvachli is that you make it, you own it. It's just, that's the way it works. When you make it, you own it. And it's nothing to do with your das to be kona. Making it is ownership, which would not work with that Pnei Yeshua. So anyway, that's the first approach he quotes, but I'm just pointing out that approach makes certain assumptions. Another possible approach, how can the husband ever become the owner of the get? Yumun Kon B'Shvachli. So the Ktsos in Simon Shin Vav, Sivkat and Dalit writes as follows. When we say Yumun Kon B'Shvachli, it doesn't mean that the Uman becomes the actual owner of the object itself. It means that he has a miktsas kinyan. It's like a little bit his, but it's not really his. Meaning, what does it mean he has a miktsas kinyan? If he wants to use it to be mekadesh anisha with it, he has the right to use it for kiddushin. Or if he wants to use it to hang on to it until he gets paid, he has the right to do that. But, let's say, you bring me a roll of fabric, right? And I turn it into a suit. And then you pay me for it. Can I say, you know, I'll pay, keep your money, I'm keeping the suit. Can I say that? Does the tailor have the right to say that? Tailor was commissioned to make the suit, right? For, let's say, $200. In China, here it would cost a lot more. $200, commissioned to make the suit. The guy who commissioned him to make the suit says, it's a beautiful suit. Here's $200. Taylor's like, you know what? I really like this suit. I'm keeping it. You keep your $200. I'll pay you for the fabric. So Pasha says he does not have the right to do that. But if it's really his, he does have the right to do that, right? If Uman Kona B'Shvachli meant it's mamish his, so he should have the right to do that. You can come up to me and say, I'll pay you for this book. And I'm going to say, no, I don't want to sell this book. I really like this book. And I have a right to tell you I'm going to keep it. Why? Because this is really mine. But if it's right, if it's really mine, I should have the right to tell you, keep your money. I'm not. It's not for sale. And if you press me on that, that's a violation of the Nisra D'Oraisa, one of the Ten Commandments of Lo Sachmut. You cannot press me on that. But in the case of Uman Karnav Shvach Kli, if you commission me to do the job, you can force me to give you the product when you pay up. So obviously you see that it's not a real kinyan. You don't have a full kinyan on the object. If that's the case, even if the katan has this Uman Karnav Shvach Kli ownership of the get, but it's not a full ownership of the get. And therefore, when the husband pays him for his work, he loses all that bailus. The bailus goes away, mimela. The husband will pay him for writing the get, done. Bailus is over, now it goes back to the husband. Yeah. By an object, probably yes. Probably if it's a safer Torah or something. On, knowledge, probably not. You know, that's kinasov from Tar B'Chachma. But an object, an actual cheftza, I would think yes. Yeah. That would be different. That would kofin, the Gemara says would kofa on tzedakah. You could force someone to give tzedakah if you know he can afford it and he's just being stingy. That's a discussion in the Tosos and the Sechs about Basra and the Sechs is about Mr. Shemat and Schar Betzida, whether you could be kofa on it or not, and why tzedakah, so there's a low sasei. That's already a different. It's a good sugya, but it's a different sugya. Okay. The third approach, the second one is ktsos. The ktsos in Simin Shin Vav. Third approach that could be suggested, and people do take issue with that ktsos, but let's leave it as is. The nesivos, third approach, also Simin Shin Vav, says, it depends. If the ink belongs to the husband, so then there's absolutely no reason why the katan should have to be makne to get to the husband, because when the ink belongs to the husband, then for sure ein uman kona b'shvach kli. For sure the uman. Why? What happens if the example the Gemara gives uman kona b'shvach kli is that you get a nice brand new wool suit, and the way that wool comes in raw is that it's like a grayish color. And it's not really so nice, and you need to dye it. So you bring it to a dyer. You bring it to someone who's going to make you play in the NBA, so you need, and you're injured, so you need a purple suit, or you need some color that's going to stand out. So you need to bring it to the dyer to make it a nice purple color. So the person who dyes the suit is providing the shvach kli. What if the person who wants the suit is providing the sammanin, he's providing the dyes, so then ein uman kona b'shvach kli. That's a Gemara in Baba Kama Daf Tzadi Chesem and Beis, in the sugya of uman kona b'shvach kli, that if the person is providing the dye, then ein uman kona b'shvach kli. The balabayis provides the tseva, the uman is not kona. So he says that would be an exact parallel to the case of the get. The tseva for the get is the ink, meaning we're not dyeing the get, we're writing the get. So if we're talking about if the Baal is the one providing the ink, non-starter, then it's no problem. For sure, it belongs to the husband all the time. If the Katan is the one that owns the Dio, so even without Uman Kona B'Shvach Kli, you have a problem. How the Katan is ever able to be Makna the Dio to the husband? Meaning, forget about the parchment. You're right. The parchment is now improved because he wrote on it. So now it's a better parchment. This parchment went from being stam, a blank piece of paper, to a piece of paper that could be used to divorce your wife. But he also needs to be makna the dio. He needs to be makna the ink to the husband. So anyway, you'd have a problem. Even forgetting uman kona b'shvach kli, if the ink belonged to the kid to begin with, so then anyway you have a problem. How's the kid ever going to be makna to the husband? So you have to say that the katan has the ability to be makna, and even if the klaf and the dio belong to him, the katan has the ability to be makna them to the husband, because the katan, when he reaches onas hapu'utos, when he reaches a certain basic age where he knows a little bit about buying and selling, mecho mekach midrabanan. Midrabanan, we say that he has the ability to make transactions, and Beis Din will then kick in hefker, Beis Din hefker. So, well, what's in the Sivis' approach? The Sivis' approach is like this. If the husband owns the ink, no problem. For sure the katan could write it. It's not going to be a problem at all, because then there's no woman kona b'shvachli to begin with. If the husband doesn't own the ink, it's the kid that owns the ink. And even if the kid owns the ink and the parchment, so eino chinami, you have a problem with woman kona b'shvachli and he can't be maknit, but hefker beis and hefker. Since me derabbanon, we allow him to make transactions, hefker beis and hefker will say it no longer belongs to the kid, it will now belong to the other party. Will now belong to the husband. Now the question is a little on this is what are the mechanics of hefker beis and hefker? Can hefker beis and hefker work on a child's stuff? Is there any reason to suggest that maybe it shouldn't be able to work on a child's stuff? Yeah. What are you, Taina? I hear you're going down the road of Hefker Beis and Hefker has a goal. It's like a Tikkun Olam kind of thing. It's to make life easier. But that would work over here. The Katan wants to be able to give it up so the husband can use this cash. So the Sivas, one could argue that the way Hefker Beis and Hefker works is that normally you need a Maisa Kinyan to make something happen. Hefker Beis and Hefker says, you don't have to do a Kinyan. We'll do the Kinyan for you. We'll make the Kinyan without you. Without you actually doing a Maisa Kinyan. Right? That could be how Hefker Beis and Hefker works. Or, maybe Hefker Beis and Hefker works in a way that says that, forget about any Maisa Kinyan, and normally you need a Maisa Kinyan. People own what we say they own, because we're Beis Din and we have the right to determine that. Now if you say like the first side, let's start with the second side. If you say like the second side, that people own whatever I say they own, that's what they own. Because we're Beis Din, we get to decide who owns what. Well, then that could apply to Katan stuff also. Katan, you think you own it? Sorry, you don't. The other guy owns it. Or nobody owns it. Depending on how you understand whether Hefker Beis and Hefker only makes things Hefker, or if you can be Mazaka to somebody else. No, nobody owns it. You don't own it because we're Beis Din. We have the right to steal. So we could steal from you. Or, going with the first side though, that normally you need a Maisa Kinyan. Normally you need to make something Hefker for it to be Hefker. You need a Maisa Kinyan to give it to somebody else. We're going to get around that. You don't need to do that. We're going to make it happen without your participation. If you say it like that, well then you at least need someone who's roi to make it happen on their own. Whatever you could normally do, Beis Din's now going to do for you. But if you can't normally do it yourself, then maybe Beis Din doesn't have the right to do it for you either. I mean, if the whole svara is, I could normally be makanit to somebody else, so Beis Din's going to say, okay, we're going to be makanit for you to somebody else. But if you can't be makanit by yourself to somebody else, because you're a katan, well, then maybe Beis Din can't do it for you either. So it may depend on the mechanics of Hefker Beis and Hefker. Pashtus is the other way we said that. Hefker Beis and Hefker is just that it's complete, we're Beis Din, we're in charge. Ownership is who we say ownership belongs to, and has nothing to do with your ability to be machna. But again, it's always good whenever you're learning the Akhut to figure out what assumptions he's making. So he's making a certain assumption. He's limiting our understanding of Hefker Beis and Hefker in a certain way. Yeah.
Is there the Katan can't be? Is like it's an Isser Aman, right?
Not an Isser. It's what that he can't be machna.
Yeah,
It's just he doesn't have the ability. He doesn't have the. It's like I can't sing because I'm tone deaf. So it's not that it's usher for me to sing. It should be usher for me to sing, but it's not that it's usher for me to sing. It's just that it's just I can't. I just don't have the yicholas.
So it's like it's derabana now. The whole it's
derabana. No, midaraisa. He doesn't have the ability to be makanah to somebody else. He can't affect the transaction. He doesn't have the das. He doesn't have the kalim to affect the transaction. On a daraisa level, yeah. On a daraisa level. Midrabanan, we actually allow him to when he's a gi'a lo nasaputos. When he gets close, we allow him to actually do it. Hey, that's approach number three. That's in the Sivas. Approach number four. He says, Uman kona b'shvachli, he quotes from the Beis Ephraim. Beis Ephraim. Ephraim Zor Margolios. Uman kona b'shvachli is not a full kinyan. It's a kinyan l'zman. Does it mean a kinyan l'zman? So normally when you make a kinyan, I give you something and it's yours. it's yours until what? Until you are makne it to somebody else, until someone else makes a kinyan on it, right? Until it gets transacted to somebody else. And if you never transact it to somebody else, it stays yours forever. That's why a kinyan works normally. But what if I give you a kinyan lizman? I say, this, I am being makne to you, but I'm only giving you ownership, a week's worth of ownership on the siding. You get 1 week's worth of ownership on the item. So after a week is up, you lost it. The ownership is over. It's a very unique thing, because the fact that such a concept exists is a chiddush. Normally, if I give you something lizman, I give you something for a period of time, what do we call that? There's... It could be matan menachsa, but let's say even more basic. You're already too sophisticated. I'm lending you something, shawel, right? A schirus, or something. So we know that there's an end to it. A kinyan lizman is saying that no, when mamish becomes yours, lizman. It's more like a matan menachsa, right? So it says Beis Ephraim that it's umen kon v'shvachli is a kinyan lizman. When is this man up? When you give it back to the other party. See, here's the difference between, I guess it's like a matana menachsa, that the zmana kinyan is up until the moment that you return it. And when you return it, the kinyan is up. So he doesn't need a maisa kinyan, it just shows it's megala that's the end of the zman. When the katan gives it back to the husband, so that shows that the zman is over for that kinyan. The chiddush over here is why is it not the exact same thing as matan amnasa achzir? Because what's matan amnasa achzir? Right, matan amnasa achzir is give me matan amnas that I'm makne it back to you. Right, a katan can't be makne it back to you. So this is quite a chiddush. The concept of a kinyan lizman, normally when I have something lizman, it means I'm a socher, I'm a shawel, I'm a bailim. But only the Zman. The concept that you can have mixas bailus on something. Gemara talks about it. I buy a tree, but only leperosa. I'm the owner of the tree, but only for the fruits that it produces, not for the lumber. The guy who sold it to me retains the rights to the lumber. Right? So we do have that concept of a mixas kinyan. They can be kona something for parts of it. But this is quite a chiddush, because this is saying I'm kona all of it, but only with a statute of limitations, only for a certain amount of time. And then my kinyan runs out. So that's chiddush number one, that this concept exists in Zman, that you could have a kinyan b'mixas, not just in terms of part of the item, but for the entire item, and the mixas is on the Zman. The limitation is in the Zman. So that's chiddush number one that he's assuming, that the limitation is on the Zman. Just 1 second. Chiddush number two is that when you do a kinyan lizman, the zman doesn't have to be defined. You don't have to say for how long. 10 days, 5 days. You don't have to say. Just till you give it back. That's when the zman runs out. When do I give it back? Whenever I'm done writing it. And that apparently is fine. So the approach of the Beis Ephraim assumes two gewaldike chidushim. Gevaldik chiddush number one, that there's such a thing called the kinyan lizman, and gevaldik chiddush number two, that a kinyan lizman doesn't even need to be defined. Whenever you have 8 approaches in achronim to answer something, it means everybody's going to be making some assumptions that other people don't like. Because if it was pashut, it would be pashut. If there was a right answer, there would be one. Right? When there are 8, it means that there's no simple right answer. You have a question? Because a kinyan means I'm gaining ownership. So even if I'm gaining ownership, but it runs out. My ownership doesn't run out. It runs out when I decide to give it up.
Like, I feel like kinyan lizman is a fancy way of saying matan amnasa, and it's an even fancier way of saying being a sofer, a
here's the difference. When I'm a shoel, who's the owner? If I borrow something from you, who's the owner? You're still the owner. I rent something from you. Who's the owner? You're still the owner. That's a shoel. You're still the owner. Right? You're still the owner. What am I taking? What am I making a kinyan on? The rights to use it. But that's it. I don't own it. I own rights to use it.
So why is it any different by Luv and Esther? by the first day, you're allowed to do mitzvah tamei achar pots, or that's not.
Yeah, because that I'm actually giving up the kinyan. And how do I get it back? With a kinyan. If I'm giving over ownership, how do I get it? If I give over ownership to you, how do I get it back without a kinyan? Matana Malasach says it's going to be a kinyan. You're going to be machzir. And if you're never machzir it to me, so then the original kinyan wasn't good. But if I'm making a kinyan where you own something, how do I get it back without a kinyan?
So, the kinyan's man, there aren't two kinyanim going on here, there's only one?
Right, because he's a katan, he can't be machzir it back. So it's a gewaltig chiddush that something exists like this. Right, I convince you. Right.
It's like retroactive back. That's all.
Yeah. And if you want to say, no, Kinyan's man works me in Tanai, that it's a Tanai, that this Kinyan was only made al Tanai, that he. But it's not al Manas the Hachzir, it's al Manas that the Zman is up. At least define the Zman then. Have to define when the Zman is. Approach number five, Chassam Sofer, in the Chidushim on Shas over here. The Chassam Sofer in his Chidushim to Shas over here says, you can't say Umen Konen B'Shvach Kli because he wasn't Mishabeach anything. He didn't improve anything. What's Umen Konen B'Shvach Kli? You gave me a roll of fabric and I turned it into a suit. You cannot wear a roll of fabric unless you are a monk, right? But a suit you can wear. So it's certainly better to have a suit than to have a roll of fabric. If you have a piece of parchment that's perfectly good to do whatever you want with it, and someone says, someone would come over to me, look, congratulations, I took the parchment you had in your house and I wrote a get for you. But I love my wife. I don't want to get divorced. You ruined my parchment. Now I can't write a shtar that says that guy owes me $50,000. You destroyed my parchment. Is it really a shvach kli necessarily, says the Chassam Sofer? Umar Konim Shvach Kli only works when you actually improve it. Over here, he destroyed it. What can I use it for now? I don't want to get divorced, so all I can use it for is a bottle cap or something. Latzor Bitzolchis is the expression the Gemara has. So it's a chaspa bialma, it's a shard, it's nothing. It's not a shvach kli. And therefore, the katan's not konit. However, let's say the katan only wrote, let's say you assume like the third day in the Gemara, that the katan only wrote the unimportant stuff, and he didn't write the name of the husband, the name of the wife, the date, he didn't write any of the good stuff. So now, he gave me something of value. Because now, I can sell this for more than I can sell a piece of paper for. Because somebody's going to get divorced, and they're going to need someone to write a get, and I have a get written where all they need to do is fill in, you know, I made it easy for them. I made it like, what do they call those things that kids play with where you fill in a noun, fill in a verb, fill Mad Libs, right? So now I made it easy. It's like a Mad Lib. Husband's name, wife's name, all you got it. Except you shouldn't play around with it. Just fill in the appropriate material. I made it very easy. It's a form now. I made it very easy for them. So if that's the case, then we should say Umar Konim B'Shvach Kli. So, Pashtus is, without, the Chassam Sofer gives a teretz to that kasha, but forget the Chassam Sofer's teretz to the kasha. We pointed out at the very beginning, this whole kasha doesn't apply to the third shita. According to the third shita, it's not really Shvach Kli, because he's doing something that anybody can do. He's not an Umar. He's not doing anything that requires any a maisa to begin with. So the whole concept of Umar Konim B'Shvach Kli won't apply. Right, that's approach number five. One of the more creative approaches that I enjoyed very much, approach number six. He quotes from the Torah's Chesed, the Tshuva's Torah's Chesed, Evin Ezer Simon Chav Dali. He says, you can't say the Katan is Konu, the Umen Konu is Shvach Kli, because what's the Shevach, what's the Shvach, why is it better now that it has a get written on it? Because now it's worth something. It could be used for what? It could be used for divorce, right? Beforehand, it was a piece of paper and it was a bottle of ink. It couldn't be used for someone who wanted to get divorced, couldn't do anything with it. Now, someone who wants to get divorced can do something with it, right? If the katan has a kinyan in the get, If the katan owns the get, mimela, you're not going to be able to use it for divorce. Why? Because the katan can't be makan it to you. So mela, whatever kinyan the katan has, as a result of a shvach, it's going to be circular. If we say the katan was kona, well then it turns out that he wasn't mishaber, right? He didn't improve it. Because if the katan's kona, he can't give it back. So it can never be used for divorce. If it can never be used for divorce, then it didn't get improved. Oh, if it didn't get improved, then the katan wasn't kona. So it works circular. So you have to say, I thought it was a pretty brilliant approach. If you can't be makan to the baal, there's no shavach at all. It's a kilkel to the piece of paper. So you're not going to say, umun kona b'shvachli. So mele, the katan's not kona the get. Do you buy that? You hear the approach? I explain it again. The whole concept of umun kona b'shvachli is that why does it belong to the katan? Because he improved it. How did he improve it? He made a blank piece of paper into something that could be used for a man to divorce his wife. That's an improvement. Blank piece of paper cannot be used. Now it can be used for a man to divorce his wife. But once you apply umun kona b'shvachli and say it belongs to the katan, guess what? A man can't use it to divorce his wife. Because the katan has no way of making it belong to the man. So if the man can't use it to divorce his wife, well then the katan never improved it. Because now it's no better than a blank piece of paper. And therefore there's no umun kona b'shvachli. Katan doesn't own it. The problem is, I think, it can be used for a man to divorce his wife. We just don't have a way to transfer the bialis. Let's say the katan dies. Rachmana litzlan. Katan dies. What happens to it? So, his yorshim, whatever, his father owns it. And what could his father do? Give it to the guy, or give it to his wife, whatever. If the cousin was driving it for his father, the father can give it to his... Right? It's not that the get can't be used for divorce. It can be used for divorce. We just have a technical problem of how we're going to transfer it. But it definitely... Let's say the katan becomes a gadol. He becomes bar mitzvah. And so then it can be used for divorce. Then the katan will just give it to the guy and he can use it for divorce. So it's not that there's a psul in the cheftza that it can't be used for divorce. That this cheftza is not any better than a blank piece of paper. It absolutely is better than a blank piece of paper. We just have a technical problem of how we're going to get it to the husband. But it's absolutely a shevach to the paper because now it can be used. There's just technicality that it's going to be difficult to use. So that teretz is a little bit difficult. There's a more fundamental teretz though that none of them are saying. You were discussing before, can a katan ever be kona something on a daraisa level? So what do we say? Yes, but we said. A katan can be condescending on a derisa level, but only if das acheres makne. What does das acheres makne mean? Someone's giving it to him. If nobody's giving him anything, the katan finds my watch on the street. It's an aveda, it's hefker, and he finds it and he picks it up. He's not kona midaraisa. He can't be kona without a das acheres being makne. Umman kona b'shvach kli. Can that apply to a katan? To begin with, that's a kinyan that you're doing by yourself. In order to be kona, you need das acheres makne. Where's your das acheres? Oh, so one could argue the guy that's giving it to you is your das acheres makne. Good. If the guy is giving a katan to write his get, what does he want? He wants a get that he's going to be able to use. Do you think he has das that the katan should be kona the get? He'll never give over that das, that the katan should be kona the get. Right? If you want to say that it's going to work with the das acheres makna of the guy who's giving it to you, well then in this case, the guy wants to be able to get divorced. That's why he's having someone write a get for him. So he would never use his das to be makna to the katan. Oh, But this could go back to our understanding of Umun Kona B'Shvach Kli. How does Umun Kona B'Shvach Kli work? Is it a kinyan or is it an automatic? One second. If you say Umun Kona B'Shvach Kli works midine kinyanim, so it's got to be like a regular kinyan, I just got to stand a little. It works like a regular kinyan. So then, yeah, then in Akinam, you'll say the Katan can't be Kona Umun Kona B'Shvach Kli because he can't be Kona without a Das Acheres. But what was our other possibility we said before? That Umun Kona B'Shvach Kli is because it's got to belong to somebody. There's a Panim Chadash B'Lekan, there's a brand new object that came into this world. And we know it ain't Hefker because no one's allowed to come and steal it. So it's got to belong to somebody. So it doesn't belong to that guy because he owned a roll of fabric. He didn't own a suit. He owned a piece of paper. He didn't own a get. So it's Mimela. It's by default it belongs to the kid. He doesn't need to make a Maisa Kinyan. He's not doing a Maisa Kinyan. It's by default. So then maybe you don't need Das Acheres. By Yom Kippur B'Shvach Kli. It's just it's a Kinyan that happens Mimela. It happens by default.
Even if let's say take me to the side also, because the only way for a katan to write the get would be, according to one opinion, would be Godo Omei Agaba. That's right, Das Acheres in itself, so that could be the answer.
Ooh, can you have Das Acheres Makna being the Godo Omei Agaba? I mean, Das Acheres Makna is he doesn't have the full Das to make the Kinyan. What's the normally my Kinyan is a Mashicha, Agba, something like that. So he doesn't have the full Das to make that transference from person A to him. But if person A is pushing it, right, Das Acheres Makna to him, so then that works. Over here, there's no transfer from person A to him. It's about making a Kinyan with the item Mineu Bey. You know, you're creating it from the ground up. So maybe the Gadol Omer Al Gaba provides the necessary Das to create it from the ground up. Very good. So maybe you do have Das Acheres. Maybe since we're relying on a Gadol Omer Al Gaba, maybe that is the Das Acheres. That could very well be. Simple Teretz, the Torah's Chesed says, is that Umar Kona B'Shvach Kli doesn't apply if the guy paid in advance. So simple way around that is just say the husband paid the kid in advance. Done. Right? No problem. That one seems to be pretty glut. It just makes a certain ukimta in the Mishnah. The Mishnah is saying that a katan cry to get, it's only when it's paid in advance. Another simple teretz, the Yad HaMelech suggests. And this is it's simple, but it's simple to understand, you know, to understand what he's saying, but it's not so posh that it's true. What if you don't pay a guy? A guy's doing it as a favor. I have a roll of fabric. I have a friend who's a tailor, and as a favor, he's going to make a suit for me. Does he own the suit? Do we say Umun Kona B'Shvach Kli? So says the Yad HaMelech, no. Umun Kona B'Shvach Kli is only when there's going to be a payment. When there's not going to be a payment, there's no Umun Kona B'Shvach Kli. When it's for free, we don't say Umun Kona B'Shvach Kli because there's no Schar Pu'ula. And normally the way Umun Kona B'Shvach Kli works is that since you owe me money, and right now you still have that money, it's as if I paid you that money for what I am doing, for what I'm producing. But if you don't owe me any money, so I never paid you any, by the fact that you haven't paid me yet, it's not ki'ilu, I've paid you money for what I'm producing, so I'm not konen. Meaning, this assumes that Umun Kona B'Shvach Kli works like this. That, yeah, 1 second. This assumes Umun Kona B'Shvach Kli works like this. If I charge $100 for this job, every day I do, for 10 days, I do $10 worth of work, and you haven't paid me those $10 worth of work yet. Right? So it's ki'ilu, I paid you $10, because you haven't paid them to me, so you still have them. So it's ki'ilu, I paid you those $10, and therefore, with that, I've been kona this object. But that's only if I'm going to charge. If I'm not going to charge, well, then I have nothing that I'm kona the object with when I'm making it. But if you say, like we said before, that no, Umar Kona B'Shvach Kli is not about the payment per se, that it's about Panam Chadash Bolakan. You created something new here. And it's got to belong to somebody. So there's a default kin. So then it shouldn't matter whether I get paid or not. I'm the creator of this object. And if I created this object, and it has to belong to me. It can't belong to anybody else. By default, it belongs to me. What do you want to say?
Okay, so in a case, let's say, in a case where he's not paid, there's no claim. That's one side. Okay, that works fine with the other one that says that a katan can't. If the katan is not paid for the thing, then he's not being mocked anything. Right. So it's fine if he does it.
Right. That's why it's a teretz. Yeah.
Maybe he wouldn't even need gadol umre gabav either.
Wouldn't even need gadol, correct.
So,
well, he needs gadol umre gabav for a different reason, just to make it a kosher get, to make it lishma. That he needs, but not for the kidney. Yeah, according to this teretz, it's standalone teretz. As long as he's not getting paid, the katan never owns it. If the katan never owns it, he doesn't have to be makin it to the husband. The husband owns it the whole time. Right, that is to just... Okay, I guess we'll get to the Tosos. Oh, tomorrow I have to attend a Sheva Brachos during Shir time. Rabbi Levin, we're going to flip Wednesday and Thursday. So Rabbi Levin's going to say tomorrow Shir. I'm going to say Thursday. Also, Sunday I got to figure out, because I am supposed to take a bunch of high school kids to a Salvatrix 20th yard site thing in YU. So we'll have to figure something out for Sunday. Stay tuned.